Ahoy there, gang, and welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnrepublicbroadcasting.org. It's the plan B of free speech. Plan A was the Constitution. It's not working. It worked pretty well for about 230 years or whatever, but not so much anymore. So go to republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the donate button, send the fundage, make your check or money order out to RBN and put it in the mailbox addressed to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664, or call it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Operators are standing by, and they will take your money with gladness. Okay, this is a live show. It's a call-in show if you care to call in. In the meantime, I'm going to read a couple articles. Typically, I would start with an article from the most trusted name in news, which is the Daily Stormer. And Andrew Anglin has a very interesting article about China. But actually, I'm going to instead take an article from the gayest name in news, which is the Gay Tway Pundit. But actually, this is a pretty interesting article. It's by Richard Abelson. I don't know who he is. I don't think he is a staff writer. I think he's probably a serious person. Top intel source to Seymour Hersh: Biden's principal issue in the war is that he's screwed. Okay. White House resident Joe Biden bought the support of Turkish prime. Let's just skip that part. Biden's principal issue in the war is that he's screwed, a top intel official told Hersh. We know Seymour Hersh. We didn't give Ukraine cluster bombs. There's a typo there. It should say cluster F-bombs. I think that's the proper name for the them, cluster F-bombs. Because is it a giant cluster F-bomb? I think it is. I think it's a giant cluster F-bomb. They didn't give Ukraine cluster F-bombs earlier in the war, but we're giving them cluster F-bombs now because that's all we got left in the cupboard. Aren't these the bombs that are banned all over the world because they kill kids? But the Ukrainians tell us they are not planning to drop them on civilians. And then comes the administration claim that the Russians have used them first in the war, which is just a lie. Okay. In any case, the official told Hersh, cluster F-bombs have zero chance of changing the course of the war. The real problem will come as early as August when the Russians will counterstrike with a major offensive. Hersh cites an unnamed source. This is what Hersh is saying. What happens then? The U.S. has painted itself in a corner by calling for NATO to do something. Will NATO respond by sending the brigades now training in Poland and Romania on an airborne assault? We knew more about the German army in Normandy in World War II than we know about the Russian army in Ukraine. The failing Ukraine war has taken a toll on the Biden administration, Hersh writes. This is kind of interesting. On Monday, Russian Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu claimed that the Ukrainian counteroffensive has cost 26,000 casualties, and I would assume that means deaths, and 3,000 units of material. Okay. Now, just by the way, how does Shoigu get this information? He claims that this information comes from intercepted reports from the Ukrainian front. So, you know, Ukraine is using some sort of electronic communication. It's not too hard to imagine that they might be intercepted. All right. The increasingly unpopular war has come at the expense of Ukraine war hawk Victoria Nuland, currently serving as Undersecretary of State for policy. Now, Undersecretary of State for Policy is the number three. This is me. It's a number three person in the administration. Now, the number in the State Department. Now, the number two position is the Deputy Secretary of State. That's Wendy Sherman. She's leaving in a month or so. She's leaving in a few weeks. And I had originally heard that Victoria Nuland was going to replace her. But, and this continues from the article, Nuland has been blocked. She's being cock-blocked, I guess Andrew Anglin would say. She's being cock-blocked from being promoted. I hope that's not too crude for RBN. I don't really know what it means. Anyway, she's being blocked from being promoted to replace the much-respected, Deputy Secretary of State Wendy Sherman. Wendy Sherman's another Jew. And Wendy Sherman doesn't even have a background in international relations. Her background is a social worker. She was a social worker and I guess had been involved with on some Jew business with Madeleine Albright. And Madeleine Albright thought, I guess talking to junkies in Baltimore and talking to North Koreans, it's probably the same thing. So she turned her into a negotiator with North Korea. I mean, it's also incestuous. Is that the word? Certainly. What do you call it when you hire your relatives for something? There's a word for it. Nepotistic. I'd rather think of it as nepotistic than incestuous. But anyway, it's probably both. Nuland's anti-Russian politics and rhetoric matches the tone and point of view of Biden and Secretary of State Tony Blinken, he writes. Current CIA Director Bill Burns, who's another person, he actually used to be the number two guy at the State Department. He is maneuvering for a top spot at the State Department. Like I said, he already had the number two position. He was already the Under Secretary of State 10 years ago in the Obama administration. So Bill Burns has a love for Biden, and his intense dislike of all things Russian, including Putin. Now, Bill Burns also was, before he was the number two person at the State Department, he was the ambassador to Russia in the Bush administration. Okay, and I guess in a speech in England on July 1st, Burns was saying how much he loved Biden. Burns was the liaison between the intelligence. I think I'm just going to leave it at that. There's a lot of stuff that's in here. It's actually kind of interesting. So we just had that NATO conference in Vilnius. But listen, let's bring on Paul Stevenson. Paul, are you there?
Yeah, it's Paul in London calling, Patrick. And, I just want some questions for you because you mentioned a woman there and you said she's a Jew. And I'd like to ask you, what does that matter? Jew.
Who's a Jew? I guess a lot of them are. Wendy Sherman and Victoria Nuland and Madeleine.
What does that matter, Patrick? We've got a big problem over here with Muslims, not Jews. The Jews are good people.
Yeah, they're helping you. They're helping you out by bringing in all the Muslims that you have the problems with. Yeah. Well, anyway, what have you got for me, Paul?
Well, you were talking about Ukraine. Of course, Ben Wallace, I was mentioning earlier with the lads earlier, he said, when he was at the summit that the UK is not Amazon when it comes to these weapons.
Right. And Ben Wallace, he's the defense minister of the UK, correct?
Yeah, which on the surface of it, you might see as some sort of frustration by him at the lack of gratitude from the Ukraine, or you could see it as potentially a dog whistling, realizing that the tide is turning here a little bit. I'm not sure. Although I was reading some clips earlier from a newspaper over here. It's a freebie. You get it on the public transport networks, and some of the calls, it is like, you know, some of the articles on here today, there was one guy saying, oh, it's a bit rich of Defense Secretary Ben Wallace to ask Ukraine to show gratitude for military aid, telling its president the UK is not Amazon. Mr. Wallace is forever right to caution that it's hard to keep boneheaded isolationist US Republicans on board in the defense of Europe. But arming Ukraine is wholly in the interest of Western European countries, including the UK. It's crucial that the Ukrainians can hold the line against Russian aggression. Ukrainians' lives are being sacrificed defending our freedom as well as their own country. These are people who write into the newspaper. These are normies.
I just want to clarify. So who wrote those words?
These are normies, mostly liberal progressives who live in plush areas in London. It's so childish. Another one said, is Ben Wallace serious? I can't imagine how I'd feel if a bully was on my land and killing my people, friends and family on a daily basis for over 500 days. Zelensky, who had expressed frustration after NATO failed to give Ukraine a timeline to join the alliance, is probably sleep deprived because of his war, with people relying on him every day as he tries to rally the troops. And he goes, so have sympathy, an empathy, and pull your finger out and speed things up and stop sounding the winning palm. It's not helpful to anyone other than Russia. And then there's another guy, not that that matters that much, but, you know, this is a common sentiment among sort of middle-class liberal types over here. And then I said, what if Ukraine capitulates? Will Russia stop there, or will it march forward, crushing the weakest states as its troops heads for the channel? That's our channel. And then he goes on to say, there is no morality in war, and there is even less morality in Vladimir Putin, and even less in Donald Trump. They bring Trump into it. The free world cannot allow Donald Trump to become president again, because he will sell Ukraine down the river, because Ukraine's in good shape at the minute, of course. But if Trump comes in, then it's in real trouble, Patrick, you know. This is the type of stuff you read in our newspapers over here, you know.
Okay, so we've been saying what we've been saying. Everybody in the audience knows what we've been saying for well over a year now, that Ukraine lost the war the moment the Chinese didn't go along with the sanctions. Ukraine was never intended actually to win the war. There was no intent. Ukraine is just a sacrificial pawn, and the idea was to regime change Russia. And if like tons of Ukrainians died in the process, no problem. And that's not working. Now, we've been saying this for almost a year and a half now. But if you're reading the mainstream media, if you're reading whatever those people that you just read, if you're reading what they're reading, they're getting this constant stream that Ukraine is just on the verge of blowing out Russia, which is insane. But if that's all you're seeing from every direction, you're seeing it in the news show, you're seeing it in the newspapers, you're seeing it in social media. It's just BBC's words against RBN's words, right? But now you've got like this NATO summit. It is hard to paint the news coming out of this NATO summit as anything other than things are just falling apart. They're just looking for some way to get out of this. I mean, there are the pictures of a really sullen looking Vladimir Zelensky in his khakis.
I almost felt sorry for him.
Yes, I mean, standing in the middle of a garden party, everybody else is well-dressed. He's in his khakis, and of course he's really short, which you don't always pick up on, but you could see this in this group shot. Nobody's talking
to him.
Everybody's
very short.
They've got their backs turned to him, and he's got this expression on his face. Nobody wants to look at him. And then you've got Ben Wallace coming out saying, we're not Amazon. You've got Joe Biden saying, well, you're stuck with us. One last thing. You've got Zelensky, who actually said he agrees with what I guess something that who says that he agrees that that Biden could end the war in 5 minutes. But the only way to end the war in 5 minutes would be to give up a bunch of Ukrainian territory, which he doesn't support. What do you say about that?
Well, I mean, the narrative is over here that Russia, again, is an unprovoked attack, and they could give up, you know, the war could be over in 24 hours if Putin if Putin withdraws all his troops, after his unprovoked attack. And then you've got what you said. But I just wanted to ask you, do you think, and bearing in mind that Zelensky is not only a crook, but he's an actor by trade, do you think that photograph is genuine or staged? Because what I read to you was in response, in no small part, by these these people writing into the paper, I think, in response condemning Ben Wallace. It was out of sympathy for Zelensky. Do you think that's part of it? Okay, the truth's getting out. Why don't we stage a photograph where Zelensky looks like just a forlorn figure, and we can just, you know, pull on the heartstrings of the Western people for a bit longer to just keep this going, and we'll kill the last 35 Ukrainians that are left, and we'll all keep the gravy train going for a little bit longer.
He is.
I don't know. Listen. I hate that scumbag Zelensky, and I looked at that picture and I kind of almost felt sorry for him. I'd imagine if you're already completely propagandized, and if you're already thinking that, okay, this war is not looking good, would the little forlorn picture of Zelensky,
he sounded more like Boris Badenoff. I don't know if you know Boris Badenoff. He's a cartoon character that our boomer audience would know from the Rocky and Bullwinkle show. But Boris Badenoff, you know, he moose and squirrel. So the Ukrainian and Russian languages don't have words for and the. And so he was just leaving them off.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. So he was saying that I don't know what it was like that the Western world isn't. They're not appreciating everything Ukraine's doing. He was just bitching and moaning is what he was doing. And then he was told by others, who was he? He was kind of lectured by some others. Maybe it was Stoltenberg, that if he doesn't sound more grateful, he's not getting anywhere.
Well, one of your guys over there, what's his name? Not Blinken, that other creep.
Yeah, well, we're up on the break. So we'll be right back.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
That is Radio Pyongyang. Okay, welcome back to National Bugle Radio, also known as What Really Happened to the Cicadas Here. So, Paul, if you don't mind, I would like to read a little bit of just the first few paragraphs of Andrew Anglin's article on China. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah, and by the way, sorry I gatecrashed your show. I was just joking because someone
okay.
at the end said,
"Okay, I didn't hear you, but I'm going to assume that says that was a yes." Okay, it says China calls out belligerent NATO faggots as the real problem on Earth, and he's got a picture of some Chinese propaganda picture, and the caption under it is, "No Chinaman ever called me goy," and you know. I said that. I'm sure I said that first. He must have gotten that from me. Anyway, more and more, the group that I have the most disdain for are the conservatives who claim that China is a bad guy and somehow a threat. This mostly comes from retards who believe in the coronavirus hoax. But what about losing my sense of smell? And the spy balloon hoax. What is a satellite? As well as people so stupid they haven't thought through exactly what sort of evil China could be planning. Like, are they going to invade the United States? Why would they do that? To what end? These people end up going along with Adam Schiff and Ted Cruz and all the rest of the human-shaped pieces of something that occupy our capital in defense of anal fisting in Taiwan. If you're a conservative, you shouldn't be forcing anal fisting on anyone, including those small-eyed yellow people on the other side of the planet who literally never did anything to you. The enemy of the American people is in D.C., not in Beijing. Seriously, how retarded can you get? Tucker Carlson makes me sick pushing this tripe. After he built up trust by attacking the government, and in particular the Republicans who are supposed to be defending us and won't, he turns around and says, oh, actually, no, wait. The real problem are those small-eyed people who are literally on the other side of the globe. Everything China says is correct. I stand with the Chinese against the Jews that control the United States government. Anyone standing with the Jews is an enemy of the America, and being a retard who is easily emotionally manipulated with gibberish might be an explanation, but it is not an excuse. Okay. You still with me, Paul?
Yeah. Can you hear me, Patrick?
Is Paul still with me?
Can you hear me?
Am I still with me?
I okay. can't hear you. All right, you can't hear me.
No, I don't hear Paul.
Okay. Wonder why. Let me check.
Okay, while you're getting Paul back, I'm just going to give out the call-in number, which is 512-248-8252. 512-248-8252. And you can talk to myself and Paul Stevenson. Paul, you're back, right?
Can you hear me, Patrick?
I heard you for a second.
I don't know. It's like we're losing contact, I think.
Let me try this live. Patrick, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. Paul, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Patrick and Paul, can you hear each other?
Can you hear me now, Patrick?
Yeah. All right. So you heard that whole China article from Andrew Hagman.
It hits the nail on the head. You know, it's like, you know, blame China for everything. Blame China for, you know, the fentanyl problem. That's not a problem. It's not the Chinese fault. Secure your borders. Blame China for the fact that you've got no manufacturing. No, you have a bunch of crop politicians who sold out all your manufacturing. I mean, it's retarded. They used that word in the article. And, you know, Tucker Carlson's Tucker Carlson's childish, you know, in many ways. You know, it's like he's still in some process of being red-pilled, you know, and I don't know. There's like a kind of a childishness about him, and you know, but it's very common, this whole blame China thing, you know. China's communist. So there we are.
So, okay, so the fentanyl connection is supposedly that the Chinese manufacture the precursors to fentanyl, and then Mexican drug lords are able to import these precursors and manufacture fentanyl. Well, the thing is, the United States pharmaceutical industry, they collapsed it and don't produce anything anymore. Do you remember early on in the deadly pandemic when it turned out that we don't produce our own antibiotics in the United States? It all comes from China. Does that mean, are these same people who are accusing China of killing everybody with fentanyl are going to give them credit for saving all our lives with antibiotics? I mean, they just manufacture this stuff because we stopped.
Yeah.
I think it's a point.
Well, I mean, according to this logic and Tucker Carlson and things like that, there was a secret invasion. I think everybody was put to sleep for about a month or something. China came in, took all your industry, and basically, you know, slipped out when no one noticed. And you woke up one day and said, where's all our industry gone? Oh, it's in China.
We'll talk about that when we come back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Don't become dependent on the medical system. Get and stay healthy naturally with Extendivite. Metals in the liver cause peroxides to get dumped into the bloodstream. Peroxides do more damage than free radicals to the arteries, and the LDL has no protection from peroxides, causing the LDL to get stuck in the arteries, creating a potential blockage. Extendivite slowly chelates the metals away from the liver so it can dispose of what was meant to be a harmless process, peroxide. Extendivite's 7 herbs has a job to strengthen the organs and circulatory highway. Can you afford a heart attack? Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Welcome back to That Is Thursday by Filbert Applebag. Hey, Paul, do you have anything you want to finish up on before we go to the callers?
Patrick, can I just say something?
Yeah.
You mentioned a term earlier, just to clarify, because you seemed a bit confused about what it meant. I think it might even be a British slang term, but I'm not sure. It might be more universal than that. I don't know. But cock block is basically, if I'm correct, I think I am, and I'm sorry for, it is a little rude in our audience, but it's a kind of a rude but sort of lighthearted term for being prevented from getting with the girl that you want to get with. And to give you an example, I heard it quite recently from a friend of mine. He was joking, I suppose, to bring a bit of comic relief to it, a bit of, to lighten things up. He said, I was telling him that my now ex-girlfriend had recently blocked me again on WhatsApp because she sent me a little clip of her hometown in Sumy being bombed by the Russians and said she didn't want to talk to me anymore and proceeded to block me. And I was telling a friend of mine, he said you've been cock blocked by Putin.
Okay. All right. Well, you learn something new every day, don't you? Okay, let's go to Catherine in Virginia. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Hi, can you hear me?
We hear you.
Hi, how are you, Patrick? I've listened to you all the time, and I think you have a very nice, dry sense of humor. And I don't really have anything to say except how frustrating it is. It's like those of us who listen to alternative media.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, you know, I have my computer on and I hear something else going on. So I don't know if you listen to the calls and then play them afterwards if somebody doesn't say anything bad. But all I have to say is, like, I've never heard you asking for callers. So I just wanted to say that it makes me happy whenever I see that you're on Speak Free. but it's also how frustrating it is. It's like most people know nothing on every topic. They truly believe with an emotional fervor their wrong opinion.
And, you know, I think that extends way up further than most people would think in the elite. I think an awful lot of people in the elite, they're not any smarter than us,
right?
And they're not any better informed. In fact, they're probably worse informed, and they're probably not as smart.
Probably dumber, and they're probably there because they have, you know, at every rung of the ladder, they've shown their absolute loyalty and their absolute stupidity, because this system is ultimately stupid. Now I hear myself on the computer, but it's like the merchants took over. Merchants should never be ruling a society. And what we have is the merchants. I don't know if you said or somebody else. I didn't think of this myself, but somebody on one of the shows said this. the merchants should never be ruling a society, and that's what we have. We are ruled by a group of people who hate us and are too stupid to understand that they need us, that we built this civilization.
That's well said. Hey, Paul, do you have any? Yeah, you have anything to add, Paul?
Yeah, well, it's a paradox, you know, because they are too stupid to realize the civilization. The other thing I was going to, the other point I would add is, I'm jealous. Last man standing, 10 a.m. Give me some love.
You know, I always listen to Patrick. I'm sorry, I didn't give you any love. I always listen to Patrick Flattery, and I find Patrick very amusing. You know, just when I think he's not going to say something funny, he'll like say something funny. So I hope he doesn't have bad jokes from now on. But he says a lot of funny things when you're not expecting them.
Well, Frank is a funny guy.
He's a funny guy. That's like from the movie Goodfellas. You're a funny guy.
I actually try very, very hard, probably a lot harder than people realize. Okay, well, thank you for your call, Catherine. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome, but I'm sure all of the audience shares the frustration of people are so dumb, you know, rifts in families. It's almost like in the Book of Revelation, it says, you know, the scroll tasted good in my mouth, but then it made me sick in my stomach. It's like you always almost wish you didn't know this stuff and could just be happy living in ignorance.
Ignorance is bliss until it's not anymore. Okay, well, thank you very much, Catherine. Okay, and next we're going to Alan in Texas. Alan, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. Yeah, hey, you know, good show, you know, needs to be discussed. You know, the last caller, you know, said frustration. I live in a kind of a world of disgust, you know, because, you know, even before I was awake, you know, I was managing bars and restaurants. Had a bartender in a restaurant that I worked at, you know, that I hired. We called him Wally. His name was Vladimir. You know, he was from Bosnia, you know. I asked him, I said, you know, what are the people in Bosnia like? And he said, the people here are just as good-hearted as the people in Bosnia. The people here don't struggle as hard as the people in America do. The people in America, y'all have it so easy, so good, but the people are still good, you know? And that's the problem, you know? If there was not this global enemy, you know, it's like, how long have we ever been without war, you know, without someone to strive against, you know? You know, it's the Chinese, oh, it's Grenada, or it's the Falkland Islands, you know, or Panama or Nicaragua, you know, somewhere. There has to be an enemy, because a world at peace, they can't control. You know, whether you want to call them the Jews, the Jesuits, the Masons, you know, the power structure, the people that are in charge, that are at the upper echelon, you know, a world at peace, they can't control, because everyone would finally find out, it's like, you're just like me. It's like, except for, you know, I drive an ox cart and you drive a, you know, a Honda Civic, you know. You know, it's really disgusting that more people don't catch on to this play. You know, how long, you know, my whole lifetime, I was born in 1962, my whole lifetime we've been at war with someone or another. You know, Vietnam's going to invade and take over the world, and we've got to go over there and send your children over to die in the jungles and fight. And, you know, like Smedley Butler said, you find out you're fighting for the freaking corporations, you know, Raytheon, you know, the arms manufacturers, or some other type of corporate entity that wants to control and make profit off of, you know, going to war with some other country. You know, it's frustrating and disgusting.
Yeah, and there's a lot going on. And while you mentioned a variety of people, I mentioned the Jews mostly, not because they're the only ones, but because they're the main ones, I think, in our society.
At the top of the power structure at this point in time, yes, possibly. But if they didn't call themselves Jews, they'd be calling themselves Catholics or Protestants or Hindus or Buddhists or something else, you know. You know, the really evil people always work their way into the realms of power.
Yeah. Well, they call themselves fellow whites, too, right? They're fellow whites.
They call themselves whatever they need to.
Yeah?
No, my friends. It doesn't mean that you know, that this Russia-China thing, you know, it's like, are they going to invade us? It's like, yeah, but, you know, the Rothschilds, you know, have mansions in China, you know. I do understand all this stuff. You know, I understand, you know, where the power comes from, but people are so easily manipulated. And for the most of us, you know, it's like the people that cause problems, you know, the people that come to repossess your land or take your house, you know, if you can't pay your property taxes, you know, it's not going to be a Jew. It's going to be a guy that sits in a church pew, you know, next to you, you know, every Sunday in church, you know. And it's not just the power people. It's the minions that they create around them, you know. And most of these people aren't bad to start with. But to exist in this world, they have to become, you know, these backstabbing.
Yeah, and I know people who work for the State Department, for instance, which I think right now is pretty much the it's kind of like chaos on Maxwell Smart. I mean, it's like the center of evil, the State Department. And you know, I have to think, well, these people probably joined with good intentions. And who doesn't? Like, if you work for any kind of major corporation or major organization, there's a big chance that you're working for an organization that doesn't always do the best thing. What, Paul? I want to bring Paul into this. Paul, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, first, it is, you know, you sort of voiced tremendous frustration that we, many of us, share. It's like you can't have peace, and you know, in the last century, of course, it has been dominated by Jewish interests in a way. I mean, they've always, you know, been trouble, but they're exercising unprecedented power in the last 20th century in the West. So it's been constant war, and but you're right. Then you've got, you know, as a Christian, you know, I think that sometimes God allows the Jews around to test people. And unfortunately, if that theory is right, you know, people have failed the test miserably, because you're right. Then you have a whole bunch of minions, you know, who buy into this stuff. They weaponize people. And, you know, look at white people. You know, white liberals are more of a menace to Western society than probably black people or immigrants are. You know, it certainly is an argument they're equally as bad, because they advocate for the borders to be open, and they hate white people, and they hate anybody with right wing views or whatever. Yeah, it's very frustrating. And then, you know, no, there was something else I was going to say, but I forget now. But anyway,
all right. Well, we have some more callers, but do you have anything else to say before we move on?
Yeah, you know, all these mothers taking their children to drag string, you know, story time, drag queen story time, and all this crap, you know. You know, guys, if I knew the ultimate penultimate of the power structure, if I could get them in my sights and pull the trigger on them, I would do it. And I would gladly be a martyr to do that, but, you know, but there are so many minions under him. You know, we've got a big job ahead of us, my friends, trying to readjust society.
Thank you very much. A lot of people share the frustration, but we're careful about anything that might sound like Fed posting. But it's just absolutely amazing. Okay, let's move on to James from Vancouver. James, welcome to the show.
Yes. I'm looking at pictures here. There was a meeting between Pope Francis and Zelensky May 14th, 2023. Were you aware of that meeting?
Between Pope Francis and who?
Yeah, I wasn't at it.
Zelensky at the Vatican, and there's beautiful pictures here.
I was aware.
Reported in the South China Morning Post, PBS, Barron's, et cetera, et cetera. And there's a picture of the icon of the Virgin, and Francis is shaking hands with Zelensky, and Zelensky has his left hand over his heart. And when Zelensky shakes hands with one of the cardinals of the Curia, he's actually bowing. I was wondering if you could comment on what they discussed, or would you know about what they discussed?
I don't really know. Didn't that meeting take place? Zelensky was running around.
Yeah, well, okay.
Immediately, right. Hold on a second. Immediately after having sent the drones to the Kremlin that was supposedly an assassination attempt, he stayed out of, that was like May and June, he stayed out of Ukraine for a while and just went on the rounds. And I think that was just part of his tour, trying to stay out of Ukraine because he had just, I guess, apparently approved an assassination attempt against Putin. That's as much as I know. Do either of you gentlemen know differently?
He's running to... He approves the hit, then he runs to the Vatican. And what's Francis saying? You should have shot better, or keep the war going, or how about peace? What are they talking about?
Yeah. Hey, I got a question for you, Paul. So Francis, he replaced Pope Benedict. Benedict is the first pope to have just like resigned and become Pope Emeritus in 6 or 7 centuries. What's your assessment of Pope Benedict?
What, the pope before Francis?
Yeah.
You know, I have to say, Patrick, I haven't really, you know, followed it too much. Because the Catholic Church has again been subjugated by Judaism, and it's just been a gradual increase in the influence of Judaism, to the point where you've got Pope Francis, and the next guy's probably going to be even worse. The next pope, they'll probably try and make him, gay or something. It wouldn't surprise me.
Well, I mean, Andrew Anglin already calls Francis the anal pope, but would it be fair? Is it fair to say that the Jews basically vetoed and brought down Benedict with all of this, the scandals, the so-called pedophile scandals?
It would not surprise me, of course. I mean, the Catholic Church have been a big problem for these people historically. Whatever you think of Catholic doctrine or the crimes of the Catholic Church down through the centuries, they have a pretty good record of, dealing with these people. Not a perfect record, but, E. Michael Jones will inform you of that if you ask him. it's the Catholic Church has fallen, unfortunately, for the most part.
Okay, and so James, do you have anything else for us before we move to the next caller?
No, I just want to say that it's actually the Curia that controls the Pope more than the Pope controls the Church. All right, I'll let you go. Bye.
Okay, thanks. Okay, let's see. Who is up next? It is Joe from Florida? No, Andy from Texas. Andy from... Huh? Yeah, Andy from Texas. Here we go, Andy from Texas.
Hey, all right. Hey, thanks for taking my call, gentlemen. I appreciate it. Hey, you know what? You know, Alan kind of stole my thunder because, he's a good friend of mine and I talk to him all the time and whatnot. He kind of stole the thunder. But the thunder is that every time we go to war, what are we going to war for? Because our leaders don't like us? They don't like what this other leader's doing? Or is there a master plan involved in there? Like Iraq, we wanted to go get their riches. We did the same thing with Libya. We claim ourselves to be patriots, and that's the way they paint us in the media all around the country and whatnot. They paint us all over. You know, they use our military in football games, military at baseball games, missing man formations, all this stuff. They give us this patriotic feeling that we're actually protecting and serving our country, and yet we're not. And so...
No.
Here's my thing is, you know what? The next war where actual people meet together, they ought to just walk up and shake hands. You know, if the world could just come to some sort of an agreement here, that government is not what we need. We don't need to be governed. We do need to have some laws and some rules and stuff, but we don't need to be governed. And that's what's happened to us, is we've become over-governed. And they're so over-governing now that they're trying to tell us how we're going to do our money, how we're going to eat our food, all this different stuff that they're doing to us, and we have no response to it. But we do have – the one thing we do need to do is get rid of government. Would you agree?
Well, what happened? I mean, I guess Churchill said something like democracy is the worst form of government except for every other form of government that's ever been tried. I don't know if I'd actually agree with him on that. Maybe it's just the worst form of government. But, you know, there's always been government. Occasionally you get like anarchy, which usually is like some sort of power vacuum that doesn't work out well. But have we ever found a form of government that really works? Well, I don't know. Some places on Earth seem pretty livable. What do you think, Paul?
Well, I think fundamentally, yeah. I mean, I'm against, you know, big government, but I think you got to take the demographic shift into consideration. I mean, you certainly need to, you know, have a big police force and have law and order in place, at least, you know, in a big way when you consider the demographic shift. So I think the libertarian worldview doesn't quite take into consideration the demographic shifts and into the West. You know, you could end up in the Wild West even more than it already is, of course, you know, if you're not careful. But, you know, I'm against government and their constant interference in my life, obviously. But it's reached a level now where it's so intrusive and so oppressive, and you know, so it's very extreme at the minute, you know.
Yeah, there's that. Right. I mean, our government does so many bad things. They do so many bad things, but there's that scene from Life of Brian where the Judea revolutionary faction or whatever, they're talking about, what has Rome ever done for us? What have the Romans ever done for us? And there's actually a long list of stuff. And, you know, government does, but we are getting to the point where it's a very fair question. Do the negatives outweigh the positives? So, Andy, back to you before we move on to our last caller.
Well, I mean, the whole thing is that, I mean, without government, had government never been invented, somebody has to take care of us. I mean, had that never happened, look what has gone from when we got government to where we're at right now. What if we were self-governing? And that is anarchy, and I think that word is misinterpreted. Anarchy, because you have values in your own body. I think you're born with them, if I'm not mistaken. Most people are born with some values in their body. No matter what happens to them, they actually are the right person that they're supposed to be. And they're trained to be a different way. But anyway, that's all I got, gentlemen. Have a good day.
Hey, thanks a lot. Okay, next and finally, we've got Joe in Florida. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, Patrick. Hey, what's up, Paul? Quickly answer that question about Pope Benedict, Dr. E. Michael Jones. He accuses him of cowardice. In other words, it was clear to Benedict, right? And I think the inside story has not come out yet, how I believe that he was coerced into resigning so they could put this perfidious character, Bergoglio, in and do what he's been doing for the last 10 years, which is undermining the church, the corrupted Jesuit cabal that took over the church. So just to answer your question about Benedict, he, a good-hearted person, but ultimately it was cowardice. He folded. I believe he was coerced and blackmailed into leaving the throne, which was completely illegitimate. Anyway, that's just a little inside Catholic answer to your question. One thing I want to say was in response to what Andy was just talking about in Texas there. So the problem is not government. The problem is that we don't have representative government, okay? We have people all over the world, smug elites, right? Jews and people who act like Jews, who have power, who should never be anywhere near power, and they are literally driving the truck over the cliff. And when you try and point it out to them, all they do is step on the gas harder. So in my opinion is you don't do away with government because anarchy is no solution to what it is. We literally have to get rid of these people. I say Jews and people who act like Jews because, as you know, Dr. Slattery, it's not only the Jews. The Jews can't do it by themselves. They have to have their accomplices. But that's my opinion.
Okay. Oh, I had a Catholic-related question. I can't remember it now. Jeepers. So, Paul, I kick it to you. Save me.
What, your, about your Catholic question?
No, just about anything.
Oh, you're out of time. Well, you know, I might do an interview with Michael Jones soon and ask him some of those questions, you know.
You do. You do. Well, what was I had a good question, and now I can't remember it. Oh, well, anyway. Oh, yeah. The Jesuits. Are the Jesuits... I've met lots of Jesuit priests. I've never met one that I thought was evil. I like them. Is there a problem with the Jesuits?
And, I think our problem is it's the same letter. It starts with a J. But at the moment, I think the Jesuits have been demoted to less of our concerns.
All right. Well, we'll pick that up on another show. Thank you for joining me, gentlemen. And I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.